Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of Provo City School District's What's Up with the Soup podcast. I am Superintendent Wendy Dow. This week, I am visiting with Harmony Karchner, principal of Edgemont Elementary. Edgemont was recently recognized as a National Blue Ribbon School, and we are going to talk about what that means. But first, let's review our updates. Timpview High School is spreading holiday cheer with two ways to give back this season. First, by donating essential snacks like granola bars, water bottles, and macaroni and cheese cups to the district's food pantry. Or second, by selecting a gift tag from their Sub for Santa Angel Tree. Each Angel Tree tag represents one gift for a local individual ranging from $5 to $20 and can be picked up in room N, as in Nancy, 232, or during Timpview's holiday events throughout December. There is one policy for review on our district website. Go to provo.edu. Click on Policies, Forms, and Documents. You can click on Review Draft Policies here. Right now, you will see a draft of Policy 4066, which updates our testing procedures. We have reached that time of year where we need to be prepared for inclement weather to possibly affect our school days. Please view the inclement weather procedures on the district website. A quick summary of the inclement weather policy includes, first, by 7 o'clock p.m., the district will formally announce if we are shifting to a two-hour late start for the following morning. Second, if a two-hour late start is announced, it automatically puts into place a below-bench pickup for those affected neighborhoods. Three, if by 7 o'clock p.m., there is indication that travel will be impacted for the entire following school day, an at-home learning day may be called. Finally, if for some reason by morning there is so much snowfall or if it is continuing to snow and predictions suggest that it will not stop in time for buses to travel safely by 5:30 a.m., we will call for an at-home learning day. Directions for accessing below-bench pickup locations are outlined in the inclement weather procedures on the district website. The school board is considering three options for use of the Old Dixon Middle School site and would love to hear your feedback. Please visit the district website to learn information about the options and to complete a feedback form. We have two opportunities for parents and community members to be involved with Provo City School District. One is a Citizens Connections Committee, which will meet and provide feedback to the Board of Education on a variety of topics. The second committee is a Parent Advisory Committee for parents of current students within our schools. The purpose of this committee is for district leadership to understand the challenges and concerns that our students have as they attend our schools so that we can problem solve with you on how to make our schools welcoming spaces for all. If you would like to serve on either of these committees, please complete the application that has been emailed to all parents and can be found on our district website. The next school board meeting will be a study session and business meeting on Tuesday, December 10th. Please look for more information to be posted on the district website as we get closer to the date. Continue watching for my weekly video casts in your email every Monday. These video casts provide one place for you to learn about important things happening across the district. Welcome, everyone, to this week's podcast. I have Principal Harmony Karchner with me today from Edgemont Elementary. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm so excited to have you on our program today because we are highlighting Edgemont Elementary School because it was recently named a National Blue Ribbon School, which is incredible.
So exciting.
It is. Yeah. It is so amazing.
Such an honor.
So I just want you to tell everyone a little bit about what that means, because you gave some statistics in the assembly about how many schools there are total. And I just really would love to have you put that in perspective of what an incredible honor this is.
Sure. So we're just really excited about it. And so I was looking at the statistics of public schools in the United States, and there's about 95,000 public schools K through 12 in the United States. And this year, there are about 356 schools that were selected as National Blue Ribbon Schools. So that gives you perspective on, you know, on how great of an honor this is to be able to say that Edgemont is a National Blue Ribbon School and reflection of the great work that, you know, our staff's doing there.
It's incredible. Tell me what the criteria are for a school to be honored with this award.
As far as like,
academics,
yes.
how do they choose that? Because there were only three schools in Utah that received this honor.
So they have to show high academic achievement of students over a period of time, and then also show progress of are lower socioeconomic or are 25% that
the lowest 25%.
The lowest 25% mm-hmm. to show that they're making progress also. And so we were able to show, we were recognized for high academic achievement
yes.
at Edgemont. So anyway, that is how they identify it.
Yeah. And the state verifies that through yes. their testing methods. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for people to understand that when we're measuring that lowest 25%, that's when a school is closing the achievement gap
exactly.
between student groups. And so this is huge. Like when schools can move in that direction, it yes. is such a big
it's
deal.
It's so exciting.
Yes.
Our goal is to not leave any child behind at Edgemont. And so we really work hard to identify really specific areas that students need. Maybe places they have gaps and holes and so that we can fill those. So make sure that every child is achieving academically, not just the high or, you know, just we want everyone to be able to be successful.
That's fantastic. And I hear that all of the time when I listen to you talk. You're like, no, we teach all kids. It doesn't matter what your struggles are. This is what we do. This is what we're about here.
We really believe that every student can learn. And
yes.
That's what we live by. That's our motto at Edgemont. We really live by that.
Well, and you see it just in how you're interacting with families and with the students and the expectations that you have with teachers. So you got to go to Washington, D.C. and earn this award. So this award is given by the Department of Education. And so tell us a little bit about that experience.
Sure. So we were invited to go to Washington, D.C. and they had a little conference there for all the schools across the nation that were nominated. Yeah. And then they did a big awards ceremony on Friday.
Yes.
The U.S. Secretary of Education was there, Dr. Cardona, and
yep.
he spoke to us about the importance of education and public education. They had a nice lunch. And
yes.
then we got to go walk across the stage.
Yes.
And receive. And we're so glad that you came.
It was so much fun.
It was such an honor to have you there too.
And, so great.
And that support and to get that award. And they did tell us to dance across the stage because it was so exciting.
Yes, exactly. They did. There was a lot of partying.
And they probably couldn't see it on the video, but it was awesome.
Yes.
And they gave us also a flag.
Yep.
So they gave us a beautiful plaque and then a flag that says that we're a 2024 National Blue Ribbon School. And we got to watch all 50 states, you know, go up with their groups that were there. And it was just a real exciting honor. I know Wendy, I was really excited. I was calling everybody at 10:30 to come down to the ceremony. It didn't start till 11:30.
She's like, I'm already downstairs. I'm talking to veterans
in
the lobby. I'm like, okay. She's like, I just met a man that's 100 years old.
He was.
Yes,
he was. Is it Tuskegee?
Tuskegee.
Sorry, that's a side note, but they were having a, since it was Veterans Day weekend, they were having a convention of, I believe it was the liberators
yes.
in World War II of the concentration yep. camps. And I did get to meet, while I was waiting
so early, I did get to meet some of them,
and that was so fun. But besides that, on the ceremony, we were there with my assistant principal, Des Olson, was there with yep. us. And then we also were sitting with other schools from Utah
yeah.
that were there. And that was really neat to all be, one was from Cache County and one from, let's see.
Canyons.
That's right, Canyon yeah. School District.
Yep.
And it was really neat to talk with them, and we talk about strategies that they used at their schools and just really get to know other schools throughout the nation receiving this award.
Yeah, we actually got to sit at a table with educators from the Virgin Islands.
That's right. So that was pretty great. Yeah.
So it's incredible to see education being valued and people across this country that are really pushing kids to achieve
yes.
at incredible levels.
It was really,
right?
It felt really unifying to
yes.
be there and all know that
our
whole purpose is there to help students learn. And that's what everybody is really working towards. So
I also loved the Secretary of Education talked about never underestimate the power of a principal
yes.
and a teacher.
And
I was like, oh, that is so true.
It's true. He said he'd never bet against a teacher. They brought us through our nation through COVID. They brought us through all kinds of,
yes.
You know, big historical events and public education has been the backbone of our nation, of democracy. So
yes,
that was fun to hear him talk about
it. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. So loved that. We had an assembly. And so talk with us a little bit about how you're helping the kids to understand what it means to be a National Blue Ribbon School.
Okay, sure. It was funny because at first when we talked to them earlier in this year, they were a little bit confused. They said, well, it just means we get to have a fun assembly. And we said, well, actually, because we did have BYU dunk team come to celebrate
yes.
with the whole school. But last week we did a flag raising ceremony and we were able to speak with the kids previous to that also. We talked with them there also. I talked and Mrs. Olson and talked. And, you know, Wendy, you talked to him too. And we shared the statistics of how big of a deal this is, and that and their hard work really contributed them being good students. Our teachers, their amazing hard work, and parents in our community. The mayor came to our thing, which was really exciting too. Her and her group came. We had interviewed some kids about what they thought Blue Ribbon School meant, and it was really cute. They said it means working really hard in math.
Yes, they did say that.
They said also doing really good job in their, you know, in their assignments, having assemblies. That was something they just really loved that assembly. They just talked about it a lot.
They're going to talk about that for a long time.
I don't blame them. I'm probably leaving some things off. But then afterwards, after we did that, we took the whole school outside and we raised our national Blue Ribbon flag on our flagpole and all sang our Edgemont Soar song, which was just so sweet.
I
know I teared up. I think a lot of people did. And the kids were just so excited about it. And then we all cheered. And it was fun. We had parents there. We had community members.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was just a very, like I said, once again, unifying activity to really celebrate the hard work of our whole community and being able to be a Blue Ribbon school.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've really appreciated is that you've talked a lot about you have tremendous parent support.
Yes.
As we were coming into the assembly, the PTA was putting up this massive blue ribbon that they had
that
made.
Was amazing.
That was incredible, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, case in point.
They're right there. They thought of that morning.
Yes.
And created this beautiful, gigantic, and it's still hanging
out.
Yes,
it is.
Looks so awesome.
It looks amazing.
And they were putting that up to surprise everybody. So yeah, our parents are amazing. And we really couldn't do what we do without them, and they are just so supportive. You know, whenever we have an idea or we, you know, or we're talking about things that we'd like to do or things to help support the school, I mean, they jump in and say, oh, sure, let's do that. Let me help you. Here's some good ideas or here's some resources. And they're willing to do that with any situation that we need, whether it's helping a student or helping a teacher or, you know, just anything that we need at our school. And it's really nice to have that.
Even when I see your school community council, it's always about how are we supporting the teachers?
Exactly.
How are we making sure that what we're doing here is going to help our students get at the level that we want them to be, right?
Yes.
And it's and they're really focusing on every group of kids.
Every group.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have noticed that. It's really powerful.
We really emphasize it is powerful.
And yeah.
It just helps all of us do our job great.
Yes,
so
yes.
We really appreciate them.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. And then you have these incredible teachers, and you have talked a little bit about your PLC model. Mm-hmm. And so PLC stands for Professional Learning Communities. We have this collaboration time that's been set up district-wide on Fridays. Talk about how that process and how your teams of teachers really work together, because really, truly, I believe it's teachers and leaders that make the difference in a school, as well as all of this parent support.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers are with them so many hours a day. So
they're doing the work.
They are.
They
so
are
tell
doing
us a
the work.
Little bit
yes.
about that, because everyone's going to want to know what you're doing so they can figure it out.
It really is good systems in place and then consistency with those systems. And one of those systems is our PLC, Professional Learning Communities. Our teams work very closely together. Besides just each Friday, they're talking throughout the week. They are not just talking, but their PLCs are actually there using data from their common assessments that they are doing throughout whatever they're teaching. At the very beginning of the school year, as part of the PLC process, I meet with each team. They meet with me together, just as a team. And we go through the curriculum, through the standards that the students need to master by the end of the year. We look at end of the year RISE scores from the previous year, the Cadence scores.
Wow.
We really look for those students that, a zone of opportunity students, we call them,
yep.
who might just be right on the edge of being right on grade level, right? Because our goal is we want every kid to be on grade level or beyond by the time they're done with that grade level. And so our PLCs really look closely at that, and they are so thoughtful as they look at those students by name and by individuals, and they look through all of their scores. And then they add, as a teacher, they know the kid, the child better than any of us, right? And so they know other elements that might be either contributing or maybe be a barrier for that student that we need to help them overcome. And so we talk about all those, and then we're able to group students to meet their needs using really specific research-based programs. And then we monitor, and the teachers monitor through the whole year. And so we, you know, they'll sit and talk as teams, and they'll reflect on what they've been teaching, the standard that they were really working on together as a team, teaching the students. And then they will reflect from the assessment and say, okay, well, what worked? What didn't? Who mastered this concept? Who still needs a little bit more support? And then they build their, what I call our intervention groups or tier right. two, sometimes they call them win time, right?
Yes.
Based on that data so that they are, I mean, specifically filling those knowledge gaps that students might have based on their needs. And that's really where we see the growth of students is yes. because our teachers are able to be so precise about what they're teaching. It's almost like how a doctor prescribes precisely, you know, a medication for a specific symptom. And education can do that now where we have so much data that we can be that specific with the children that we teach so that we really can move them ahead, whether they are a second language learner, if they have a special ed classification,
right.
you know, or they're a gifted student, we can help with interventions and we can also accelerate their learning too. So really all that magic happens in our grade level teams as they're meeting together and, you know, they have spreadsheets they're keeping the data on so that they can see growth of students or if something maybe didn't quite work and then they share together what really did work when they taught that. And I know it's just such a magical process to watch.
Yes. I love that you keep using the word magical. This is making me so happy with
it. It is our theme.
Yeah,
right?
It is our theme. So I love it.
But it is when it's that synergy that team has when they really focus on students and focus on their learning and progress by using the PLC strategies and using data. I mean, magic does happen, and those, yep. and the kids start to take ownership of their own learning also as teachers are talking to them about their progress and where they need to get to by the end of the year. So
that's incredible what you've described there. I heard several things, like there's so much intentionality,
yes.
right? This isn't
yes.
just accidental that no. this is happening. I love this part where you talk about that the teachers know the students by name. So as they're identifying, sometimes when we get into this, we're like, well, 62% did this or
right.
whatever. And, you know, 20% are not on grade level or whatever. It's like, no, these five students.
Exactly.
It's very individualized. And the research shows that when that happens, the intentionality increases so much. And that's
so
why
much.
You get that kind of growth happening. So that's just... That is huge.
It's exciting
yes,
to see.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it's
That's
exciting
incredible.
For me that the students are making progress. That's our goal.
Yes.
Right? That's what we're in this business.
Yes.
It's for students to learn. That's the whole point of education.
Yes, it
and
is.
So that's really where our focus stays all the time and all our decisions are made through. Is this going to be best for student learning?
I appreciate that too, where they're talking about, you use the word synergy. Oh, that's also really, you're using really great words. I
oh,
love
good,
it.
Good.
So, this synergy that happens with this team, it's not about any one individual teacher.
That's
it's
right.
all about the students and how they're working together yes. to support those individual students.
That's
and
right.
that's what the key is. And as I was listening...
We leave our egos at the door
yes.
and we just focus on the student learning,
yep.
you know? So
That's what I heard when you were talking with one of the other principals at one of the other schools in Utah. As you were mm-hmm. sharing that, I was like, everybody needs to hear this.
Oh.
Everybody needs to hear all of these pieces because it is really powerful what can happen. So let's talk about some of the other honors Edgemont Elementary has also
it's
received.
A good year.
It's a good year. So I wanted to also highlight that we were able to go to the French Embassy when
amazing.
We were in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that experience and what you have learned about Edgemont's place kind of in these dual immersion French schools
okay.
And some of the honors that you've received as a result
sure.
of that.
So we have a, you know, as a French DLI school, we have a contact, of course, with the French Embassy. And we just always get emails from them. We've never met them in person.
Yeah, we don't
right?
know.
There is a contact
we don't know what
at the
they
state,
look like.
But
yeah.
I've never met the national. And so I reached out to Mikhail Raji.
That's right.
But see if, you know, we could come visit while we're in D.C. And
yeah.
he was really excited to have us. We got to go to the French Embassy and we walked inside and they're so friendly. And they gave
yes.
us a tour of the embassy, talked about the kinds of things they do there, the people that are working there. We got to see they have their only embassy with a cafeteria, right?
Yes.
It probably has delicious French
yes.
food. We couldn't talk him into letting us stay for that.
No, no. Our time was limited.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It probably was amazing. They don't want to eat the rest
no,
of the
they
food.
Don't want,
they don't want
clear.
To eat out. Yeah, they were very clear about that.
I don't blame them. French food is really good.
It's really good.
So,
yes.
But and then we sat and talked to them some more and he was talking about, we just received I'm not going to say it right. It's the Label is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And it's an education award from the French Embassy. Our French team of teachers fill out an application and it's pretty intensive. They have to describe the curriculum that they're using, how they're teaching students, how students are learning, as teachers, their qualifications to teach. I mean, there's a lot more to it. I'm simplifying it all, but it does take a little bit of time and
time and effort.
Effort to do. And then they submit that to the embassy. And I believe they visit from the state, they come visit the school too. And anyway, so the label is pretty prestigious. It means that our school is one of the best French immersion schools in the nation.
Yep.
And that we're meeting their expectations and higher for what a dual immersion program should be. And so that was pretty exciting. So we talked a little bit about that with him.
Yes.
And he was just thrilled that we had that opportunity. There's going to be an awards ceremony a little bit later this year that we'll get to go to for that.
That's great.
And get that. And then we'll hang that. That is a prestigious award from the French embassy.
So. Oh, that's very
so that's
cool. Oh, that is really mm-hmm. exciting. And then last but not least, you're also a STEM school. So tell us a little bit about your honors in this area as well.
So last year we worked with our leadership team to, we were doing a lot of STEM integration already, mostly STEAM, because we have
arts in there.
But the state calls it a STEM integration.
Yes,
and so we decided
we just elevate it to a higher level because we got to make it better. Right? That's what we do in Provo.
That's
so
right.
Here we go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we worked with our leadership team to fill out applications. If we have this, we were doing this stuff already. Let's get the designation, right? So we can show people we have it and then have access to some more resources. And anyway, just continue the awesome things that are happening at Edgemont. And it's also quite an application process with a really specific rubric that you have to provide a lot of documentation that shows, they call them artifacts, that show the things that you're doing at your school to implement STEM through your curriculum. As it's not just you're just doing it as a separate piece. It's you're actually, to be the platinum level, you actually have to integrate it into your curriculum throughout the school day. So
like in reading and math, you're integrating those particular standards
and principles.
So kind
of like what my first grade teacher talked about today, where her first graders do an integrated project where they are not just researching, which is the science part, they're researching animals, but they're also then doing an art element with it and they're presenting to it, you know. And so a lot of our grade levels all do that through their curriculum. So it's integrated through language arts, or it could be integrated, you know, science and language arts together. It could be math and they're also technology. So engineering project. We got that form all put together. It was a school-wide effort to be able to get all of the artifacts that they wanted and to write out about our school, the things we were doing. Anyway, and then we found out this summer that we were designated not just STEM, but the platinum level, the highest level. So we've got to go to a conference this summer for that and get our banner and our certificate. And that's hanging in our school now.
I know.
And then we do have, as part of that STEM designation, you also have to create, as a leadership team, a five-year plan that shows how you're going to continue to implement and improve your STEM program.
Oh, I love that.
So we shared that with our parents also. Our community council and our PTA. Those are things that we work with our leadership team to continue to implement. We're always looking for how we can continue to improve Edgemont and continue to make things, the great things, even better. So.
That's right. And I think what's really important about this, too, is it's providing access to those things for every single kid in
the
school.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Exactly.
And so just some really, really exciting things. What was the most interesting artifact as you were compiling this application that you're like, oh, my gosh, I forgot that they did this and this was amazing?
Gosh, I have to think about this because we have a whole Google Drive full. There was so much amazing
There's
stuff.
So many things.
I mean, I knew that, we had been working through this. We've been doing a lot of training with some professors from BYU on how to implement engineering, how to implement technology. Our fourth grade, I think the projects are all amazing, but one that I've just loved, and our fourth grade's still doing it. They're working in partnership with BYU on a coding literacy integration. And they're using these little cards. So they had to, it was like they're doing it with fairy tales, just simple because most kids know a fairy tale, right? Or a Disney fairy tale or something. So they took the fairy tale and they told the story. And as they told the story, they had to program this little card. And I can't think of the name of them off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And they had to program it so that it lit up these LED lights at certain times in the story. And then they also, this year, they've been working on programming those cards to be pedometers. And then also they programmed them to play a rock, paper, scissors game. But anyway, they're working with, they do literacy now, but they have been working with a professor and his students, and they come into the school, and they've been working with our fourth grade team for 2 years now to help integrate this literacy coding project, which is an angle I hadn't ever
thought of before. I would never have thought of that.
But it's been, the kids have been so engaged and what's the great about the STEM topics is the kids are learning and they're having a really good time. So they don't even realize how much they're learning and how much higher level thinking that they're doing and problem solving, which is definitely a skill that we want all our kids to have as they go, you know, out into their lives.
So they
don't even realize that they're doing it because it's just natural process in working through some of those STEM subjects that you have to be a problem solver, a critical thinker. You have to think outside the box. You have to really work as a team together. And so these processes just happen naturally with integrating STEM subjects.
It's really fun to ask kids about those kinds of projects when they're coding. And first off, I am so amazed that we have like elementary kids that are coding. Like I am so impressed. And they can explain to you, this is the process I went through. And then I have this problem where this one wasn't doing this. So then I had to go back and rethink
And
I am just like, this is amazing. Yeah. You guys are incredible.
And super engaging for them because it speaks to their world right
yes,
now.
Yes, it really does.
That just comes natural.
It comes
to
very
them.
Natural. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Whereas the rest of us, I'm like, I just need a pen and a piece of paper. I'm good to go. Yeah. Here we are. They're just so amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty great. What would you say is something that you're most excited about that you're continuing to work on as a Blue Ribbon school and with all of these accomplishments? Because we have talked and the energy at your school is really positive and awesome.
It is.
And so tell me what you're most looking forward to as you continue all of this great work.
Gosh, there's so much.
Oh, I love it when people say that rather than them going, let me think. No, that's great.
No, it's so much I think there's just so many positive things happening. It makes me excited to come to work every day. And definitely we want to keep maintaining and even improving more. So the Blue Ribbon Award, the designation stays for 5 years. We have a lot to live up to and to continue that, right? But I have a lot of faith in my staff and teachers. They're experts at what they do. Yeah. They really understand how to put kids first and they'll problem solve through things. They have great ideas and insights. So I just continue to look forward to working with them, I think, as a staff and then working with the community. I know. Okay, you want to tell you what we're thinking about doing. So Des and I have already been talking again because you're always looking for.
I know you guys.
So you guys are planners. One of our next goals is to become a PLC model school identified, specifically from the solution tree.
Yep.
So that is something that we'll be working on next too. I just got an email from US News that we're one of the top schools.
That
in
doesn't
US
surprise.
News.
I was just waiting for when that was going to happen too.
So that's exciting.
That
again.
Is very exciting.
But I'm telling you, that's not me. That's a reflection of the dedication of our staff to the PLC process, to student learning, to just making sure that no child ever, I keep saying that, it sounds really cliche, but child is left behind. And we really feel that. And I feel that from my staff when they talk about kids and they come bring concerns, that they have about students. I mean, they are truly, truly trying to make sure that not one of their students is left behind, and they're pulling every resource they can to try to help them.
Yeah, so. Edgemont, you guys walk the walk. You don't just talk the talk. That's
we try.
For sure.
We work hard.
I can see that. I can see that for sure. I think Edgemont's incredible. And one of the things that I think I also want people to realize is there are a lot of schools in the state of Utah that have demographics that are similar to Edgemont, that have supportive, parent populations and have great kids. But the fact that you got this designation and all of these different honors is a huge tribute to your staff and the way in which they work together to support students and the emphasis that you've placed on we don't leave kids behind. So we've just got to keep figuring this out and working through it. And that starts from the leadership. You see it through all of your teachers as well. So that's really what makes the difference there and has really made Edgemont so successful. And I see it every time I'm in that building. It's pretty fun.
Appreciate that. It's a pretty great place to be.
And I love it that you love to come to work. That makes me so happy. Yay. Me too. Good. Most days. Yeah. most days we love to come
exactly.
to work.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's always hard days. Yes, I'm not going to lie. Everything isn't roses and sunshine.
No, it isn't.
Right?
But that's okay.
But we're dedicated to the job. And I think that's... So that gets you through even the tough stuff.
It does.
So.
This next generation, they're going to be our next leaders and inventors and engineers and all of these amazing things. I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
Me too.
So thanks so much for being on our podcast today, Harmony.
Thanks.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of What's Up with the Soup. As always, all episodes will be posted on the district website, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts. If you have any topics or questions you would like us to discuss on the podcast, please email us at podcast@provo.edu. Don't forget to join us again next week when we are back with an all-new episode of What's Up with the Soup. Have a great week, everyone.